Welcome to the College Football Bros. I am Michael Newman.
I'm Ryan Newman.
And I'm Trey Newman.
All right, on today's episode, we are going to go through the highest profile quarterback battles around the country. We're going to handicap all of the candidates, and each of us is going to make our prediction as to who will take the first snap of the 2023 season for each of these teams. So I think this will be a good episode. We were already starting to debate it pre-show, and then we were like, all right, we got to just click record. We got to get into this thing. So Ryan, start us out with UCLA.
Yeah, the Bruins, they got quite a QB battle brewing there.
Oh, nice.
This to me was interesting because, you know, they got three guys, you know, really mainly three guys vying for the job, but they're all kind of unique. They have their own kind of, I guess, positives about them. So I'll start off with number one. We got Colin Schley. He's a senior transfer from Kent State, and he had a really good 2022 season. He was very efficient. He can run the ball a little bit, so he's going to be tough to beat when you're with the experience that he has. Second guy is Ethan Garbers, former Washington quarterback, but he's been with the Bruins for a couple years now, and he's played a little bit kind of behind DTR, and he played okay in his chances, but I mean the potential's still there, and he knows the system, so you know he's got a shot. And then number three, big time recruit, you got Dante Moore coming in from Detroit. He's a 5-star, and he'll be there for the spring, so they'll get to learn the system as well. And he kind of seems like a perfect fit for Chip Kelly's system. He's a super, super talented kid. So can he, win the job right away? I'm not sure. I'm going to say no. My ultimate prediction is going to be Colin Schley. I think when you bring in that type of transfer, I think it's for a reason. I think he'll get the first snap. Dante Moore, maybe in the later of the season, could take over. But unless, you know, only if UCLA is struggling, though. Otherwise, I think Schley's got it for the whole year.
I'm with you. It's always hard to pick the true freshman. You know, you just don't know, because first of all, you don't know if he'll end up living up to the hype, and then even if he does, it might not happen right away. So, Colin Schley, we've seen him play well. Also, adds a good element with his legs. He's a very good runner. So, I think Schley should be the favorite.
Looking back on his stats, I thought he had a bigger year than.
I agree. As a passer, it wasn't quite as spectacular as I kind of thought, but
yeah.
But he's kind of, some draft picks out there kind of like him for potential. So but with Chip, it is kind of hard. I remember a few years ago he started Wilton Spate, and that just kind of always surprised me. Like, so he doesn't need the guy that can totally
doesn't
run,
need to have
so
the legs. Yeah.
Chip always has a card up his sleeves, but I agree with you guys. I'm going to say Schley, and he could be the bridge quarterback to Dante Moore.
The thing is, all of the recruiting guys say Dante Moore is like the most, maybe the most college ready of all the quarterbacks in this past recruiting class. So that, makes me think
than
maybe
like
he's got a bigger chance than I think.
Maybe
Arch Manning started like
ready. Like I'm saying,
I don't know.
Arch Manning. Yeah.
He's very college ready is the point. Yeah. It's not like a potential type play.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And coming in the spring. So.
Okay. But we're all going Colin Schley. Next up, we have Georgia. And of course, no more Stetson Bennett. No more Todd Monken as offensive coordinator. Mike Bobo is going to take over. And there's three candidates here. You've got Carson Beck, who is a former 4-star recruit. This will be his fourth year in the program. So he's been there a while. He was backing up Stetson Bennett, so that gives him kind of an immediate edge there. He was the backup last year, played well in limited action, so I think he's the favorite. He would be my pick to be the day one starter, but it's not like a massive favorite at all, because he's right now in spring camp splitting snaps, first team snaps, with Brock Vandegrift. This is going to be his third year in the program, so also, you know, pretty experienced in that sense, and he was a 5-star prospect, so even arguably more raw talent than Carson Beck. So he's in there. And then the third candidate, I would say, is the long shot, the redshirt freshman, Gunnar Stockton, a 4-star recruit last year. So yeah, my pick is Carson Beck, but this one is close.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's got to be Carson Beck. You know, he was the main backup, and it's hard to unseat when that seems to like already be a pecking order.
Yeah, I would lean Beck too, but I think that I would guess that the staff really wants Vandegrift to take the next step and prove his arm talent, since he probably is he's a little more athletic than Beck, but he's just such an unknown at this point. and with Beck having the more game action. But it is a wild card because you got Bobo coming in, so you can't really use the last couple years to help predict this.
Yeah. I will say their first two games are UT Martin and Ball State. So this is definitely one of those.
Jim Harbaugh action.
I know it could if he wanted to. But I think you'll see them both play, or maybe all three play in the first couple games of the season.
Yep. All right. Well, sticking in the SEC, let's go to Alabama. You've got Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson is the main battle. A couple incoming freshmen, but it's Milroe or Simpson's job. And it's a tough decision because you got to factor in the new offensive coordinator, Tommy Rees. I think Milroe, he has the experience. You know, he played a lot in that Arkansas game last year. He started the Texas A&M game when Bryce Young got injured. He's a gifted runner. We saw that. Little limited passing, at least, from what he showed, didn't grade out well. But, you know, maybe now with a full spring and fall camp being the main guy, he might get some more reps and look better. And Simpson, he was a five-star last year, top three quarterback prospect in that cycle, bit more of a traditional pocket passer. So I kind of look at this 50-50 in my eyes at this point. I know Milroe could improve, but I'm going to predict Simpson actually ends up being the guy with his raw talent and pedigree.
Yeah, I would lean towards Simpson as well, just because like you said, the upside, and just that we saw Milroe struggle as a passer a bit last year. So I'll just bet on the more unknown, but higher ceiling in Simpson.
That's a three-way. We all agree.
Oh, all right. wonderful wording.
That's great. Thank you.
I also think you can't totally rule out the early enrollee freshmen because none of these guys have really done much. So
that's a good point.
If one of these freshmen comes in and wows them, then they got a puncher's chance.
Yeah, didn't mean to totally discard them.
Moving on to let's go Big Ten team. We're going to the hometown squad. We got Nebraska. They have quite a big QB room. There's a lot of options.
Yeah, quarterback. It's like a five-way or something, right?
Oh dear. Yeah. Yeah. it's pretty crazy. But it actually, to me, kind of seems like a two person race, even though there's a lot of options. The first option you got is Casey Thompson, who was the quarterback last year, and he played relatively well considering the team around him just wasn't very good. His offensive line was one of the worst in the nation. But he completed 63% of his passes, almost 9 yards per attempt, 17 touchdowns, 10 picks. And there was just a massive drop off when he left, when he got hurt. It was just so you could kind of tell how important he was. And then the guy that's coming in to compete with him, Jeff Sims, the Georgia Tech transfer. You know, he's a different type of quarterback than Thompson, no doubt. He's not on the same level as a passer as Thompson, but Sims can run. You know, he generally runs for 50 yards a game or so over his career. If Sims can improve like his arm, if his accuracy can improve and his decision making through the air, then we got a real battle because his physical ability is dwarfs Thompson if that's the case. But I don't see it. I think you got to be more consistent through the air. So I actually think Casey Thompson's going to win the job again this year. But you know, there's other QBs who could make a shot at it. I think maybe the third guy would be Heinrich Harburg. He was from Nebraska. He's kind of a big potential guy, but there's still Chubba Purdy. God, he was horrible. He's such a big recruit, but he can't even throw the ball 20 yards. How does that happen?
Oof, tough scene. I'm with you, Ryan, on Casey Thompson. Like I thought he played reasonably well considering the circumstances. And I just haven't seen it from Jeff Sims. He's got the pedigree, but he was inefficient at Georgia Tech. And I know they were, you know, when he got there, they're in the midst of that transition away from the option. So he wasn't really surrounded with the best talent. Offense never quite came together, but I would give him some of the blame for that. Like he's very inconsistent. At least he was at Georgia Tech. So, but I think this is a close battle because right now with Casey Thompson coming off of shoulder surgery, that's kind of a factor here. Maybe Jeff Sims could get a leg up, and just the fact that Rule handpicked Jeff Sims. Like he's inheriting Thompson, but he picked Sims. So that's a factor. But my pick is Thompson.
Exactly. Man, I'm I'm torn. I'm actually going to lean Sims because of, you know, like you said, Rule picked him. And I agree, you know, Sims had the bugaboo of being inconsistent. But like last year, Georgia Tech lost Jahmyr Gibbs to Alabama. And like he really had, he was hanging dry. Yeah. It was very similar to Nebraska. Like they had coaches get axed and were kind of left hanging. But
Nebraska had one other guy. They had a receiver. So
yeah, no, I love Casey Thompson, and he's actually been a very good leader. The fact that he stayed was kind of surprising, and then he's been a very good leader in this offseason, it looks like. So it's a
2 years left, actually, too.
It's a good point. It's weird. He's so old.
I mean, I think he only played 4 games his first year, and then COVID year, I think, was his second, and it's crazy. Anyways.
All right. Okay. Two for Thompson, one for Sims.
Yeah, we're a split there. That was our first split, wasn't it? Okay, next up we got Texas, Casey Thompson's old school. This is easily the most talked about quarterback battle in the country, and it is very likely down to Quinn Ewers, the number one overall prospect of the 2021 recruiting class, and then Arch Manning, the number one prospect of this cycle. Malik Murphy's there as well, but of course a big long shot. So Quinn Ewers last year got off to a good start, and then of course famously in that Alabama game, got off to a very good brief start there before getting hurt. And just second half of the year, he kind of faded. Don't know if there was a nagging injury that was affecting things. I think that's, you know, if you're picking Ewers to be the starter this year, I think that would be kind of your partial excuse for how he played down the stretch last year. But he was sixth in the Big 12 in QBR out of, you know, there's 10 schools, eighth in passer rating. So just overall wasn't a very good year. Showed flashes, but wasn't great. And Arch Manning coming in is the most famous quarterback recruit probably of all time. You'd think with his pedigree, he can pick up the system quickly. He's there for the spring. So he's being given a shot. Like it's definitely an open competition there. But as with UCLA, it's just tough for me to pick the true freshman. I'm going with Quinn Ewers. He's got the experience edge. He's just as physically gifted, if not more, than Arch. So it's not like, you know, he's going to wow the coaches in practice just as much. And I just think it would work out best for Texas. If Quinn Ewers starts this year, of course, plays well, and you get Arch a year to learn as the backup. So I lean towards Ewers.
And Texas was really close to being pretty good last year. They were so close. They had so many close losses. So they don't need to really shake things up a ton. They just got to get a little better across the board. And they seemingly could and should, as long as they're one, a little more lucky, and two, just a little bit better. So I think Ewers kind of makes sense to just stick with that. I mean, unless Manning just comes in as clearly better, I think you got to go with Ewers. So if it's a dead heat, Ewers gets it.
Maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but I just think there's no chance that Arch starts day one. I'm not saying he's not good.
I thought you were about to pick
Arch. I'm not saying he's not good. I'm not saying he's not good. I just think I don't think they want to throw Arch to the wolves right away. And like Sark needs to win this year. I mean, their pressure's on, and I don't know if he's willing to just all of a sudden roll the dice on starting Manning day one. Cause they play Alabama week two or something. Like now Manning will probably play this year. I'm not saying he's not going to play. Like he's gifted. He's the guy of the future, but I would just be surprised if he was the man day one. Maybe he'll come out guns a blazing this spring and fall, just look like the second coming. But I just think there's too much pressure on Sark, and Ewers was decent, like you guys mentioned. So I'm going Ewers.
And that was a good point, Ryan, about it being like, if it's close, you'd probably go with Ewers. Cause it just makes sense, right? Like, cause Arch is not going to be upset that he's the backup and transfer or something, right? He came in knowing that might be the case. And so maybe just works best to give Ewers the first chance. We're picking the first snap here too, you know, crucially. But so I feel good about Ewers getting that first snap. And then who knows? If he struggles, obviously, then
totally. Ideally for Texas, it's Ewers is so good this year, just clicks, goes well, and you know, and then just goes off to the NFL. And then you got Manning taking over his second year. Like that's the ideal scenario.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Ole Miss. This is
tough.
This is a competitive room, man. Lane decided to go with some competition in that room. So you got Jackson Dart, the incumbent starter, Spencer Sanders, the transfer from Oklahoma State, obviously very productive in his career. And then LSU transfer Walker Howard. You know, Dart last year started 7-0, But then the team kind of trailed down the stretch. I mean, but he threw for almost 3,000 yards, 20 touchdowns, made some plays with his legs. You look at what I mentioned, Spencer Sanders put up a ton of numbers over his years at Oklahoma State. Walker Howard, top 40 player in the 22 class, but, you know, transferred from LSU because of the competition there. I just think that the ceiling might be higher with Dart or Howard overall, but I think Spencer Sanders just is the pick here for me, because I don't know why he goes there if doesn't think he's going to be the guy. It just was such a surprising move. It makes me a little less confident in Kiffin's thoughts on Dart, but maybe he just wants the competition to bring the best out of him. But I that's why I'm going to go with Spencer Sanders. It just seemed too odd. Right. If that makes any sense.
Yo, no, it's a tough call. I mean, I don't think I'm going to go with Howard. I really think it's between Dart and Sanders, and it's a tough call, but you know, I am going to go with Dart. Sanders just was never very good at Oklahoma State. I mean, he played so much, and he was very inconsistent, a lot of turnovers. That was, you know, Gundy's system, and that's supposed to be a somewhat supposedly QB friendly, you know, system, although they kind of changed a little bit the last few years, but because their defense got really good, but maybe Sanders was part of the problem.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I think Dart, I mean, yeah, his year wasn't great, but he can still get better. It was only his second season, you know, so he's still pretty young. So yeah, I'll lean Dart.
And he has a year in his system now. So
yeah.
All right, so I got to break the tie here. We talked about this a while back when Spencer Sanders transferred. And I think at that time, Ryan, you and I went back and forth.
Yeah.
You were thinking still Dart you would pick to start.
Oh, good. I didn't change my mind.
No, I was saying Sanders because basically what Trey said. It's like, why is he transferring there if he doesn't think he's got a good chance to start? But then the more I thought about it, it's like, well, I mean, what he thinks doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you know, Lane would do that. Lane would do whatever.
I'm sure Kiffin just told him, hey, like, it's going to be an open competition.
Max Johnson did that at LSU, transferred to Texas A&M, and he wasn't the starter.
True, but this is like the end of Sanders' career, right? So,
yeah.
Obviously, I'm sure he could, with transfers these days, I'm sure he could hop to another school if it doesn't work out. But anyway, at the time, that's why I was leaning Spencer Sanders. But the more I think about it and look at it, I'm more siding with you now, Ryan. I'm picking Jackson Dart just because it's really hard for me to separate the two of them. Like, I just feel like they're, like, statistically, look at what they've done. It's kind of similar, actually. Like, their production has been somewhat similar.
Dart has more upside at this point.
Yeah, Dart has more, exactly, because it's only his second year. He's got the continuity edge because he's been there. And so, yeah, I would just, I'm going to pick Dart, but this was probably the toughest one to pick. And also, Walker Howard is definitely has a chance.
Good.
But
yeah.
But it's, I would put him third right now.
Yep. All right, moving on. Let's go to Ohio State. You know, pretty much whoever wins this job will be one of the favorites to win the Heisman. So it's down to two guys. You got Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. Kyle McCord, former five-star recruit, Ben Stroud's backup the past couple seasons. And he played well in his limited opportunities that he got this past year. Played very well in those limited opportunities. So he's a good passer. Not a runner, but he's a passer. In Ohio State's offense, that's okay. They've had some really good quarterbacks that don't really run. I think that'll work out. Devin Brown's the real competition for him. He was also a highly rated recruit, not quite a five-star, but he was very, very close. Just a year younger than McCord. He's more athletic. He's got some wheels, maybe not quite Justin Fields wheels, but he can move. But he does have a big arm. Like, he's a really athletic kid. He's got kind of all the tools, but he's just kind of, you know, he's yet to throw a pass in college. So there's definitely question marks about his experience and what he'll actually look like once he gets into a game. So can his accuracy, can his decision-making kind of be good enough to win the job over McCord? We'll see this spring. That'll give us a pretty good clue, but it's hard for me to go against McCord at this point. He seems like he's kind of, he's the leader in the clubhouse at this point, but Devin Brown is definitely the wild card.
Yep. I agree. I'm going Kyle McCord. Got the experience edge. Just seems like he's definitely the favorite.
Yeah, I'm going McCord too. I mean, even if he isn't that mobile type, like you've got guys like Marvin Harrison and Igbuka to throw it to, like he'll be okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize this, but McCord was a high school teammate with Harrison. So he's
isn't
got
Igbuka gone.
No,
I don't think
he's
so.
Still there.
Oh, yeah. I thought Harrison was the only one.
But Harrison, you know, so he would have that connection with McCord, you know, dating back to the high school days. So,
yep.
McCord for all of us.
3 for 3. Let's go to Tennessee. And we have Joe Milton, who has a rocket arm, of course. But at Michigan and then in his first year at Tennessee, struggled with accuracy. And so it was kind of, I don't know, I think everyone was kind of down on him at that point. But then last year, after Hendon Hooker went down at the end of the year, Milton came in and, you know, played well, especially in the Orange Bowl, played extremely well, beating Clemson. So after that game, I think everyone is saying, okay, Milton is the favorite to be the starter. Like we saw a great play in that bowl game. The other candidate is the highly paid true freshman, Nico Iemeleava, and or EA, I knew I was going to screw that up. You know,
yeah, we're impossible. Usually pretty good at that, but
I usually
you
am, got
you had to learn Tua after a while. Now you're going to have to learn this one. So
anyway,
he's down the street.
Iemeleava,
down
Iemeleava. What's that?
He's down the street from me. We
Nico,
Downey. Yeah, played against his team in basketball, but I don't think he was on the team. But
I'm sure if he was, he would have been good.
He probably would have been really good. Yeah.
So yeah, he's there. He's was the number two quarterback prospect behind Arch Manning, but I'm going to bet on Joe Milton being the starter. Yeah, because of the experience, and clearly Heupel likes him. Like clearly he looks great in practice because Heupel started Joe Milton 2 years ago ahead of Hendon Hooker at the beginning of the season. And obviously it didn't quite work out, quickly switched to Hooker, but I just think there's nothing he's going to see in practice that will dissuade him from Joe Milton. So even though Nico has all the talent in the world, maybe he's a generational talent that can do it. I'll bet on Milton.
I'm with you. That's just, he's got the experience and we've seen it. So I'm with Milton to start day one.
Milton, repeat.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's move on to one of their rivals, Florida. They had the drama this offseason with the star recruit, Jaden Rashada. He would have, been pressing for the number one job this year, but now you've got a room with Graham Mertz, the Wisconsin transfer, Jack Miller, an old Ohio State transfer, and you got Max Brown. Looking at this room now, it seems like this is one of those battles that they could potentially still add someone in the portal after the spring, once kind of the dust settles from all the other spring practices. But if, looking at these guys as of now, I'll say Graham Mertz. I don't know if Gator fans are overly enthused by that. But maybe, getting out of that non quarterback friendly system at Wisconsin, he never lived up to the billing of his, recruiting, profile, but he did actually, somewhat improve. He wasn't awful. Just, he did turn it over a good amount, but maybe, Napier could, springboard him a little bit if he ends up being the guy. Jack Miller, I do like. I'm not throwing him out at all because he ended up playing in the Las Vegas Bowl when the entire Gators team just decided not to show up. But he showed, he was decent. He was injured last year. He was actually going to be in a competition with Anthony Richardson last year, but he got injured right before the first game, and he dealt with that all year, and so he only got to play in the bowl game. So I'm definitely not ruling him out. And then I don't think Max Brown at this point, he might have a higher ceiling than those guys, but I'll go with Mertz at this point. Might not have a long leash though.
Yeah, I'm going Mertz, but I'm hoping if I'm a Florida fan that after spring practice, maybe there's a better transfer that's able to come in and compete.
Yeah, we all agree, even though it's a little of an alarming situation, I would say. Not ideal right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that does it for the most high-profile quarterback battles. There's a few more we didn't get to at NC State with Brennan Armstrong and MJ Morris. That's a really interesting one, actually. With I would pick Brennan Armstrong there, but I don't know. Yeah, Wisconsin. Yeah, they've got a cry. They got a lot of four stars there, but that's
Mordecai you and Evers.
You think that's likely to be Mordecai?
Sure.
And then you've got, who else did I want to bring up? Oh, Texas Tech.
Yeah,
Tyler Shuck. But they seem to like Baron Morton, so maybe he's a possibility. But anyway, let us know in the comments below if you're watching on YouTube any other competitions we didn't bring up or your picks for any of these quarterbacks we did discuss. So thank you for watching and listening. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Give the video a thumbs up and subscribe, and we will see you next time.